Bibles and turn to 1 Kings, book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 8. And I think that our lives and Louise's life is a life of fulfilled promises by God. God works in our lives in a wonderful way. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord brings blessing into our lives. He fulfills His promises in our lives. Our lives, like the lives of the people of the Old Testament and Israel, we are the people of God. We are the New Testament people of God. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were the Old Testament people of God. And God brings blessings into our lives. And I think that Louise's life is a life of blessing. There was many hardships, I think. I don't know everything about her life. Many hardships. She had two boys, and I'm sure that was a hardship. And she had Joy and Andrea and Judy. I'm not sure which one was the... I hear all these stories that they talk about how Joy cut all the hair of Chester off one day, and all these different stories. It must have been difficult. So there was times of blessing, but there was probably times of hardship as well. Here in chapter 8, it says, "Blessed be the Lord," verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. "Blessed be the Lord who hath given rest unto his people. Israel, according to all that he has promised, there's not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us." Verse 58, "that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances that he commanded to our fathers. Let these words which I have made in supplication before the Lord be near unto our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times, as all matters require." Now this is a wonder, this is a prayer. This is the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And here he is interceding and speaking, looking back in time and saying, the God that we worship, the God that we know, the God that we have intimate fellowship with is a God who keeps promises, a God who knows us, a God who blesses, a God who gives promises, and not one word of his promise has failed us. And I think it's a tremendous thing. He goes on to say in verse 57, "as our God was with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the past, hundreds of years prior, so is he with us today." He goes on to say, and he prays and asks this prayer. He says in verse 58, "that he may incline our hearts to him," that God might draw our hearts to him. And then he says in verse 58, "that we may walk in all of his ways, that we may keep all of his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinance, which he commanded to our fathers." You know, this is a characteristic encapsulated view of the Christian life, and I think in some ways of Louise Chambers' life. God keeps promises. Not one word of them has failed. The Lord prays and says in his prayer that we would incline our hearts to him. And I think Louise has been an example, a godly example, of what a Christian should be all the times that we've known her. And the people that are here today are here because she's been an example to them. But one of the things about her life is she is a godly example. She's a woman of prayer. She's a woman of the Bible. She's a woman of Scripture. A woman of love, woman of kindness, never forgets a birthday. We might forget her birthday sometimes. Let them forget our birthdays. We'll get a birthday card. All our kids will get birthday cards. Everyone in this church will get birthday cards. And probably everybody in this room maybe will get birthday cards and thoughts about her. She'll give gifts. Remember when she went to a little bit of a special conference with Miss Joy, a professional conference, and she came back. Remember one Sunday, she came back and she gave a little gift to Miss Cheryl over here. I don't remember what it was. I think it was something like a little tongue to use in the kitchen, but she remembers people. She's a kind person, a gracious person. And verse 58 says to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, keep his statutes, his ordinances, which he has commanded to our fathers. This is a great promise to the Christian life. You know, this morning, I don't know your background. Some of you I've met for the first time. Others I've known for some time. But one of the things we see in this passage, we see a God who loves us, a God who knows us, a God who's brought us into a relationship with him. And there's no better thing, I think Louise could say right now, no better thing in a person's life than to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. A number of years ago, when I moved to Florida, I met George and Louise. I was living in Tampa, and I was going to Carlwood Bible Chapel, and they said, come to my house for lunch. So I did. Came up for lunch. I don't know if Faith was there or not, but I went for lunch. Went up to Land O'Lakes, first time I had heard of Land O'Lakes, first time I had been here. And I came up, and I met George. We had lunch, and Louise made lunch. They lived in a house on Palomar, just right around the corner from the Simmons, and we went for lunch. It was a lovely house. And he said, let's go for a drive in the car. So I said, okay, I want to drive. He drove me all around Land O'Lakes, down Weeks Boulevard, South Shore, and this street and that street. And he began to tell me, he said, you know what I've been praying about? I want to tell you what I've been praying about. He said, I've been praying about that God would start a church. God would start a church here. He said, I drive into Tampa, but I've been praying the Lord would start a church here in Land O'Lakes. This was about 1996. And he drove me around and told me how he was praying and where the different streets were and how he thought about those things. But then he told me this. He told me, we started talking to him. I said, have you ever heard of a man named Harold Wildish? Because I knew a number of people from the islands and from Jamaica who had been led to the Lord by Harold Wildish. And he said, I was led to the Lord by Harold Wildish. And I'm not sure if Louise was led to the Lord by Harold Wildish, but yesterday we sent a little gift box and a birthday card to Louise. And in that bag, I have a cassette sermon of probably his most famous, Harold Wildish's most famous message, for me to live as Christ. He was a very well-known preacher in Jamaica. And maybe that was, I'm not sure how Louise was saved, but maybe she heard Harold Wildish and that's how she was first saved. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I think she would say that she would never trade anything for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. She wouldn't trade anything for what we have here in this passage. Verse 57, the Lord our God will be with us as he was with our fathers, and he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by our good works. Louise would never say that she was ever saved by anything in her life. George, her husband, would never have said it was anything in him, but it was through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's a day in Louise's life, there's a day in George's life, day in my life, and day in many people here in this room, where we said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe that the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And when he went to that cross on Calvary, and when he was nailed into that cross, and when our sins were laid upon him, that he paid the penalty price for our sins. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. I often think of that verse. It says in that verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. General statement about all mankind. General statement, all we like sheep. Sheep often go astray. I'm not a shepherd, but we know they love to wander away. All mankind love to wander away from the Lord Jesus Christ. General statement. But then it says this, each one of us is accountable. Each one of us has made a decision to turn our backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. Then it says, we have turned each one of us to his own way. So I was. I was raised in a Christian home with godly parents, and Louise and George may have had Christian parents too. I don't know. But I turned my back. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners. More than that, we've all turned our back and we've gone away from God. But then it says this, and the Lord laid upon God the Father, Lord laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of us all. Why would he do that? Why would a God where we turn our back on him, why would a God when we walk and are astray and turning and going far from him, why would he do that? Why would God lay all of our sins upon the Lord Jesus on the cross? Why would he have him nailed to a cross? Why would he have him scourged and whipped before he went to the cross? Why would he have that crown of thorns upon his head? You know, I think sometimes of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus that he had on the cross. You know, to my count, there's seven. There may be more than seven, but for my count, there's seven. But, you know, five of them are on the face. It's amazing to me. The most sensitive, the most probably the most vulnerable place of our body is the face. We as men who shave, some have beards, like my son, where he has a beard, doesn't shave anymore. But we who shave, we know we cut our face, right? It's so easy to cut the face. Just a little bit. The Lord Jesus, it says in the Bible, five different sufferings on his face. They spit in his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head. It says they took their fists and they punched the Lord Jesus in the face. They took rods and they hit the Lord Jesus in his face. And then it says, too, they pulled the beard from his face. But there's something amazing that is said in Isaiah chapter 50. He said he gave his backs to the smiters, and his cheeks he gave to those that pulled out the beard. And he hid not his face from the shame or the spitting. On those five wounds he had on his face, he never turned away. He never tried to protect himself. He never tried to lessen the pain and the suffering. That's an amazing thing. I remember when I was a little boy, I was riding a bicycle. It was a brand new bike, and I was riding it. I wasn't very old. And I was riding, I hit a rock. I think it was a big rock. I wasn't looking, and the bike, you know, it just stuck right on that rock and threw me off that bicycle. And my face hit the street. But I remember, I put my hands like this as I was going down. My arms were scraped up, my hands, my face. You want to protect yourself. But the Lord Jesus, he gave himself. The Bible says over and over again, he loved me and gave himself for me. It says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us. Over and over again, 13 times it says the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. There was a time in my life, time in Louise's life, time in George's life, that we said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus forgave us of our sins and gave us a place in heaven that fadeth not away, reserved for us. One day we'll be with him. One day Louise will be reunited with George. And as time goes on, we don't live to be 95 years old. We will be reunited with them. I asked Louise one time what I had to do to be and live as long as she did. And she said, keep on breathing. And she liked to say funny things like that. Keep on breathing. I said, well, I'm not sure. I'm having a tough time right now at 57, but 95, keep on breathing. But one day we'll be reunited with Louise and with George and with all those who will be in heaven one day around the throne. You know, this preacher we talked about, Harold Wildish, he's one of my favorite preachers. I love to listen to his messages. And he talked about heaven. And he said, I can just see myself in heaven skipping along the paths and a grassy field in heaven. And there, way out to the distance, I see someone else coming, walking towards me. And I'm walking towards him, and I wonder if I know him and who he is. And he comes closer and closer. And we stop, and we say to each other, did I know you during those earthly realms beneath? He said, before heaven. He said, did we know each other? He said, well, I am not sure. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Obadiah. And he said, my eyes just opened. And he said, from the Bible. He said, yeah, I'm Obadiah. He said, have you heard of me? Yes, he said, you wrote one of the books of the Old Testament. And then he said, this is the question I fear he will ask me. He said, did you read my book? Did you read my book? That little book, Obadiah. And I could say to him, yes, I read your book. Then the next question I fear he'll ask me is this. What did you get out of it? That's Harold Wildish. He preached the gospel one day and George was saved. And Louise and many, many, many others were saved. And her life was changed. And she comes to know the Lord Jesus, who will never leave us or forsake us, who has reserved a place for us in heaven forever and ever. We'll be around that throne, casting our crowns at his feet. What a Savior we have. And I trust this morning that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know something like this, that he was as he was with our fathers, he will be with us. This God, this Savior, this Lord will never leave us or forsake us. He prays that we would incline our hearts to him, we would walk with him, we would walk according to his commandments, we would walk in our lives, and that he would bless our lives, and he would lead us in our lives, and he would guide us in our lives. I want to look at two passages as we close this morning. And at the end, in about 10 minutes, we want to show a four or five minute video. So after I finish and I pray, we're going to show that. Let's turn to two passages. One is in Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 13. Two passages I want to speak about that I think reflect the life of Louise a little bit. And one of the things I think of when I think of Louise is I think of her as an example. The Bible says over and over again concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, be followers of me. Be followers of me. When disciples saw the Lord Jesus and they saw him praying, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. When they saw the Lord Jesus praying, they wanted to pray like the Lord Jesus did. As they followed the Lord Jesus, they wanted to walk like the Lord Jesus walked. They wanted to live like the Lord Jesus lived. They wanted to serve like the Lord Jesus served. They wanted to love like the Lord Jesus loved. They wanted to preach like the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And the Lord Jesus poured his life into 12 men, primarily 12 men, but many, many others poured his life into these people. And these people began to know what it was to walk with the Lord Jesus and to know the Lord Jesus and to serve the Lord Jesus. And so when they saw him praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. When they saw him preach, I think they said, Lord, teach us to preach. And they saw him do things, they said, Lord, teach us how to do those things. Let me do it like you do that. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, later when the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary and was buried and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, in chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter was preaching and James was preaching, disciples of the Lord Jesus, and John were preaching. And people watched them. And they said this in Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They preached like the Lord Jesus. They spoke like the Lord Jesus. They loved like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus invested his life in them, and they were followers of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we want to be. And I think that's what Louise was. Followers of the Lord Jesus. In the passage we're reading, Solomon prays that we might not depart from his commandments and his ordinances, his statutes and his promises, that we might do those things that God has asked us to do. Look with me in Judges chapter 13. Here is the birth of Solomon. I'm sorry, the birth of Samson. The birth of Samson. Samson was to be a great deliverer. And actually, half of the book of Judges is taken up, more or less, with the life of Samson. It's a great figure. It's a man who did great things. He's a man who had certain failures. There's a man who had great parents. And there was a woman in chapter 13. We never find out what her name was. Her husband's name was Manoah. And she's called the wife of Manoah. And she didn't have a child. And she prayed and prayed for a child. And God gives her a child. He comes, an angel comes to her and says, you will conceive a child. And he will be a judge, and he will be a great man, he'll be a leader, and he'll be a ruler. And he will deliver the people of Israel from their oppressors. This is a great thing. She was thrilled not only that she could give birth to a son, but that he would be great in Israel. And so she goes and she runs back to her husband. She says, an angel has come and said, I will give birth. And the husband says, call the angel again that he might come and tell us and speak to us. And so she does, and he comes again. She runs to her husband. And they both come. And down in verse 12, the husband, Manoah, is there. And his wife is there. And the angel is there. And they ask a question. Here's the question. As they think of the birth of Samson, they ask a question. And they say to him, let thy words come. How shall we order the child? What shall we do unto them? Now, what is meant in this verse is, how do we raise this child? I'm a mother and a father. How do I do everything right? Everything right so I make no mistakes, that I raise this child to be the kind of child that he is to be. I want to be the perfect mother. I want to be the perfect father. I don't want to make any mistakes. And so they say, let thy words come to pass. I'm here with pencil and paper, if they had that back in those days. And every word I'm going to write down, every word I'm going to remember, you give me the handbook and you give me the techniques and the everything I need to know to raise this child to be a man of God, to be a leader, to be what God wants him to be. And she's ready and he's ready to write down all the words. You know, as parents, we want that, don't we? We want the handbook to have the perfect child. We want to do the best we can. We want our children to be all that God wants them to be. But what did the angel say? And this is what I think about Louise as an example. The angel says in verse 13, it's only about 10 words, could have easily written them down. He says, of all that I said unto the woman, let her observe. What did he say to the woman? He said, basically, he said these words, live a life that is a godly life. Live a life that's a committed life. Live a life that puts the Lord Jesus Christ first, puts God first. Live a life in obedience to the commands of God. Live a life of worship. And Samson will turn out okay. You know, I think that's great advice. And I think that's what happened in Louise's life. You know, we don't have a handbook of how to raise children. But the best way, one of the best ways as we raise children is to be that example of godliness faithfulness, of love, of caring, concern, given our lives to our children, given our lives to our husbands, loving them and caring for them and living for God and serving others and seeking to honor God. And the angel comes and says, all that I told you, observe. What great advice. And I think that was a great powerful thing in Louisa's life. To see a life lived for God is a great example. It's a powerful thing. A praying mother, a mother who reads the Bible, a mother who serves, a wife who serves, who reads the Bible, who is obedient to the commands of God, wants to honor God in every way she can. When she comes in contact with people, whether there's people that go to church or don't go to church, whether they're people that know the Lord or don't know the Lord, pours out her life. We have at our house some blankets and some knitted items that Louise made. Maybe you have some knitted items that Louise has made. She made so many knitted items. We used to have a fair in town, and we had a book. We used to give out literature and Christian literature at this fair, and thousands would come. She would come. She made so many items that she sold these items at that fair, but she gave a lot of it away, gave it to people who needed them. Birthday presents, baby shower presents. Served and gave her life to those around her. I want to look at one other passage as we close our time, and that is in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Louise has been sick sometimes. I know she's not feeling well right now. I know the last couple of weeks she's had gout. And I saw her on Wednesday night. She came out to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I put my arm around her and I said hello to her. And she said, my whole body hurts. Wasn't feeling well. She was there, praying, fellowshipping, being with others. My whole body hurts. And she's had time of suffering, times where she's had different problems. But she's more or less a picture of health. But in this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about suffering. And it talks about those who are examples in suffering and difficulty and hardship and heartache. It says in verse 4, about God, it says, God is the Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort. You know, God is the source. God the Father is the source. He is the great supplier. He is the unlimited, matchless supplier of all mercy that we need in our lives. We need to be lifted up and cared for. And we need mercy in one situation or another situation. God is the Father of mercies. He comes and helps. He comes and aids. He comes to our need when we need it. But then it says, too, He's the God of all comfort. You know, we need comfort. We need mercy sometimes in situations that are very difficult. We need comfort sometimes. We need someone to pick us up and put his arms around us. It speaks about in Isaiah 66 and verse 13. It says, God comforts us as a mother comforts her child. And that word comfort in that passage is the word to sigh. Comfort is the word to sigh. The idea is a young boy or a young girl is out playing and they run and they get injured. And they come running to mommy. And mommy puts her arms around them. She might not do anything. She doesn't put a band-aid on it. She doesn't do anything first. She just holds them in her arms. And she says, it's okay. You'll be okay. That's the first thing we need, don't we? As a child, that's what you want to hear. You will be okay. You're not going to die. You'll be better. She just holds them for a while. That's different than mercy. Mercy, God coming down and helping us in a situation. but God putting his arms around us and comforting us. Here it says in this passage, I love this, he's the God of all comfort. He knows how to comfort in every situation. There's not a situation where he can't comfort you. There's not a situation, there's not a crisis, there's not a difficulty where he cannot comfort us. But look what it says in verse 4. There's times God uses us to comfort someone else. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our tribulation? That we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. When we receive comfort, when God comes to our aid. Louise is a woman, I think, a lady of experience in many, many different ways. She's been in a lot of places. She's had a lot of experiences. She's had a lot of wisdom. A lot of mercy and comfort in her life. And I know she loves to send cards and to greet people. One of the nicest pictures I have of Louise in my mind is when Sarah, her daughter, who's 18 and a half now, she's really young, she's only 3 or 4 years old, every Sunday morning, at the break time, the coffee time, almost every Sunday morning, they would get their snack and Louise would sit in her chair. This is in the old community center. And Sarah would get in her chair and they would sit together, having their snack together, having a talk together. I'm not sure that they talked about her aches and pains and her difficulties. But someone who can comfort. Someone who can care for others. Someone who can share the experience and the wisdom and all that she has to other people. Verse 6 says this, that person, as you see the faithfulness of that person who was going through trial, going through difficulty, though her body hurts all over, we see her faithfulness. We see her love for the Lord. It says in verse 6, that faithfulness is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. I want to read that verse in the NIV, another translation, and it says, which produces in us patient endurance to endure the same. Do you know that when a person faithfully goes through a trial in life, a difficulty in life, a health sickness or some other tragedy or difficulty, as they faithfully serve the Lord, and we look upon them, younger people, older people, middle-aged people, as we look upon those people going through those things, it says it produces in us, it gives us strength, it gives us the ability to say, through God's grace, I can do the same thing. God is gracious to her. By God's grace, I can do the very same thing. And so this morning, we think about Louise. We're thankful for her. And we close in a word of prayer. We want to show a short DVD of her life. And then we're going to have a dinner together. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for Louise Chambers, and we pray, Father, that you'll bless her life with many, many years. And we pray you'll bless us with her life. Those who don't live in this area, those who do live in this area, bless us with her life, Father, and knowing her, and her comfort, and her mercy, and her gentleness. And so, Father, we pray that you will do all these things in our lives. If there's someone here this morning, Father, that doesn't know you as Savior, we pray, Father, that they might say yes to the Lord Jesus. Trust him as their Savior this morning. So we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 299 in the blue hymn book. It's three lines. Let's sing all the lines, if that's okay. by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he seems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day with a special mercy for each hour, all my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, the charge that on himself he's laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, to me he's made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me in thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take us from our Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach that promised land. Can we sing the second line again, just without the piano? Just the piano can start us, and then we'll just sing an a cappella. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my care he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is in the